WMZ-TV.
Okay, folks, I got a hot one for you today. A prime example of classic Christian hypocrisy. A prime example of a man grabbing Satan's bait, biting into Satan's bait, taking Satan's bait. And I'm going to tell you what Satan's main bait is. Grabbing onto it, the bait, the lie, thinking that he's progressing spiritually when in 24 years of Christian ministry, this man has not grown an iota. He remains the same self-righteous, unaware, self-righteous hypocrite he has ever been. And I'm talking about a man named Clay Cross. Now, I hate Christian music with a passion. Some of the lyrics are wonderful, great lyrics. In fact, I'm going to play you a song. I'm not going to personally play it. I'm going to play you a video by Clay Cross and a song called Saving the World, whose lyrics are, generally speaking, sound scripturally. Scripturally sound, sound scripturally, works both ways. And yet the man singing them does not believe anything he's saying. So, Martin, you hate Christian music. How did you become aware of this song? That's a good question. In 1999, when Grace Cafe, which consisted of my friends at the time, Mike and Denise Tellep, and Charlie Kronk, since deceased, Ted McDivitt, since given up on the sovereignty of God, Ken Pridemore, haven't heard from him in years. Anyway, we were a core group of people. You've been listening to our show on Sundays once in a while, right? Rodney mixes in Grace Cafe recordings. We did a live show in the summer of 1999 for 5 weeks in Cleveland, Ohio, at the largest Christian radio station. And Mike Tellep was into Christian music. And I was like, okay. But see, he was called our music meister. And so it was his job to find seams in my teaching. I would give him as few seams as I could, but he would put a songs in there. But we had the same song as an intro. We had a two-hour show. We had the same song as an intro and the same song as we had an intro to the first hour and an intro to the second hour. The intro to the first hour was Revive Us Again. And you've heard it if you watched the last Grace Cafe. I think it was a week ago. So we became familiar with this song that we started our second hour with on every show. Song by Clay Cross called Saving the World. And we thought it was super cool. I mean, I knew, I always suspect of Christian music. Always suspect. I just hate it because I know the people singing it are hypocrites. Martin, you got to listen to the lyrics. Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't help me to listen to the lyrics. If I want scripturality, I'll go to the scriptures. If I want to hear cool music, I'll go to the Beatles or Led Zeppelin or Creedence Clearwater Revival, okay? I will not go to Christian music because I don't want to hear a bunch of hypocrites singing songs whose lyrics they don't believe. So that's how I became acquainted with this guy named Clay Cross. Never would have known of him otherwise. Mike Tellep was the one. Hey, I got a great song for the beginning of the second hour. What is it? Saving the World by Clay Cross. And Mike was impressed by these songs because he was amazed these Christian people are tapping into the truth. Mike, they don't know what the hell they're saying. Some deep inside part of them writes some lyrics that sounds good, sounds scriptural, sounds spiritual, but they don't believe any of it. So in 1998, this Clay Cross guy, he's a big-time contemporary Christian music dude. He won a couple awards, Dove Awards, as that's what they give each other out in that world. Anyway, so we had this hit called Saving the World. So this was in 1998. We hijacked it and used it on our show in 1999. We didn't hijack it. The station paid royalties for it. But before I play the song for you, I'm going to play the video. It's a jammer. It's a great song. And the lyrics, most of them are good. Okay? And I'm going to dissect the lyrics. But before I do that, I don't want you to think for an instant that this artist believes anything he's singing. Because he is now, 24, 25 years later, he is now the worship leader. You know how that goes. Using music to keep people's minds in neutral, to keep them from thinking about their hideous doctrines. And I'm going to go into the doctrinal beliefs of this church. He is presently lead worship pastor. Worship, that's the Christian catchword. That's the Christian secret language word for people who sing repetitive songs and make you cry and make you say Jesus' name over and over again, make you feel emotional, make you feel like you need to come back next week. And somehow the lyrics tend to be correct, but nobody singing the songs believes a damn word of what they're singing. And I will prove it to you with Clay Cross. And they call this worship. They call it worship. They don't even know who they're worshiping. They're actually worshiping a false god. They're not worshiping the true God or the true Christ, because the true God and the true Christ are not the impotent, maniacal, failure deities that the Christian doctrines portray. Jesus was actually successful. Wait till I break down the song. I'm going to break down the song. I'll try to do all this in one show, believe it or not. So this dude is today the Faith Baptist Church. No, the First Baptist Church, Bentonville, Arkansas. Got that post in 2013. It still has it. It's in Bentonville, Arkansas, First Baptist Church. Yeah. Don't hear a great opportunity for spiritual growth there. Well, no, because let me read for you. I'm at the FBC Bentonville website. FBCBentonville.org. This is their website. This is where their doctrines are stated, their beliefs. And you can already figure it out. But I'm going to read it to you just so you know. Concerning Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. He is co-equal with the Father. Jesus has eternally existed. He's eternally existed, and yet he's the Son of God. So obviously they're Trinitarians. God is the creator. It's about God. Here's their statement about God. God is the creator and ruler of the universe. He has eternally existed in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are co-equal and are one with God. And yet they somehow believe Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is God, and yet he somehow died? Then did God die? That'd be my first question. Did God die? And if God can't die, and if Jesus Christ is an essential part of this triune deity, then Jesus Christ could not have died. So you people don't believe in the death of Christ, so therefore you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And yet I'm guessing at their church they have many wonderful songs about the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't believe any of it because you can't raise unless you're dead. Can't raise from the dead unless you're dead. And I'm sure they have signs out on Easter Sunday that says, he is risen. How could he raise if he didn't die? How can he die if he's God or an essential part of the triune deity? He can't die. Why don't you just say what you believe? His body is risen. His body, his skeleton has come from the grave. His muscles, his sinews, his bones. What's left of his organs has come from the tomb. But he never died. They don't believe he died. So why do they say he is risen? They say his body died, but he went on. Of course, yes, that's what they believe. They deny the death of Christ, thus deny the resurrection of Christ. And there's nothing in the scripture about the resurrection of the body. We're saved by the resurrection of Jesus' body. Not by him, by his body. It's a pack of lies, and there's the first terrible thing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how can he be co-equal with the Father then? He's not. He's the Son of God. You should have stopped right there. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, period. Next, but no. They elaborate and come up with their own inventive descriptions. About the Father, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-wise, all-loving. Their God will eternally damn people who are not wise enough to choose his son. That's not very loving, especially when, according to Clay Cross, in his beautiful song, Saving the World, Jesus Christ came to save the world. And he did save the world, according to the beautiful Clay Cross song, Saving the World. And yet, Clay Cross could not be the lead, a lead worship guy, whatever, you know, worship. Couldn't be that unless he signed on to the statement of faith. Oh, and about salvation. Salvation is God's free gift to us, but we must trust in Christ's sacrifice for us. I thought it was a free gift. Now you're telling me I have to trust in Christ's sacrifice for us. We can never make up for our sin by self-improvement or good works, okay? Only by trusting Jesus Christ as God's offer. Wait a minute, but wouldn't that be an act of self-improvement? I mean, I am trusting in Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing to do. I'm definitely improving myself by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's a good work, isn't it? I think the opposite of a good work would be an evil work. So if you're not going to call trusting Jesus Christ a good work, then you're going to have to call it an evil work. Well, we can't call it an evil work. Oh, so you're calling it a good work. If you're calling it a good work, and if I have to do it, then I am saved by good works. And yet you say we could never make up for our sin by self-improvement or good works. There's so many hypocritical knots here, and they can't see it. They're blinded by Satan. Satan blinds the apprehension of the unbelieving so that the glory of the beauty of the image of the God does not irradiate them. I'm paraphrasing that last part, but I got this part down pat. Satan blinds the apprehension of the unbelieving. Going to put the verse reference down here. Satan, I'm going to quote it to you right here. Satan blinds the apprehensions. Their apprehensions are blinded. About eternity, people were created to exist forever. We will either exist eternally separated from God by sin. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Never mind that. Or eternally with God through forgiveness and salvation. To be eternally separated from God is hell. And they put it in capital letters, so it's a geographical location according to them. No, Martin, maybe they just mean separation from God. Maybe they just mean they're going to be dead forever. Let me read on. To be eternally in union with him is eternal life. Heaven and hell are real places of eternal existence, period. Oh, real place? Hell is a real place. Which one? Hades, Gehenna, or Tartarus? Jesus never said hell because he didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic and probably Greek. In any case, his words were recorded in Greek in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And not once did he say hell. Talked about Gehenna, which is a valley on the southwest corner of Jerusalem. It's going to serve as a crematorium during the kingdom era. He talked about Hades, which is a figure of speech for the grave or the tomb. It means unseen. No flames on the premises. Peter used it one time. The King James has Peter saying it. Peter never said it either. What Peter said was Tartarus, which is a place where sinning messengers are kept, not a flame on the premises either, and no human beings on the premises. Never mind, they translate that hell as well. So these people don't know what they're talking about. They're blinded. I mean, severely blinded. Well, they're Baptists. That's all I had to do was say. It's First Baptist Church, and you understand completely. But I wanted to read this. Because I'm going to play this song for you now. And this man wrote this song, I think, in 1998. And he's still performing it. Well, of course, he's the lead worship guy. He's the lead worship minister at the First Baptist Church of Bentonville, Arkansas. He hasn't grown, but I'll show you what he has done. Satan's bait. What I started this with, Satan's bait. Where do you see this? But first, this is a cool song. I'll give you that, Clay. But unfortunately, you have not grown in your knowledge of God or Christ or salvation or sin. You don't know what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You don't have a clue. You sing about it in your song, and your song is mostly correct, but you yourself don't have a clue. Still, after 25 years. But you don't have dirty thoughts anymore. Oh, I just gave away part of his great transformation. But before that, let's listen to the song. Watch the video. Clay Cross, saving the world. Yeah, all right, isn't that nice? Yes, it's a great tune. I love the guitar. I love that part. But I can't stand the hypocrisy. I can't stand it. Here's the lyrics. I already told you what the man believes. He believes that people who don't choose correctly, don't choose Jesus Christ, in spite of being dead in trespasses and sins, in spite of claiming that nobody can be saved by good works, he still demands the good work of believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, even though there's no one righteous, no, not one, and they don't pay much attention to that verse in Romans chapter 3. They don't understand, of course, that salvation is a gift of God, that everyone will be with God for eternity because of Christ on the cross. You sing it in this song, Clay. Too bad you don't believe it. You sing it, but you don't believe it. If you did believe it, then you would have aeonian life, but you're committing the greatest sin ever. Oh, you don't look at dirty pictures anymore. Congratulations, but you're committing a sin worse than that. The people who still look at dirty pictures, but who understand that Jesus Christ completely did the entire work for them and their self-righteousness, their righteousness is as filthy rags. Those people, they have aeonian life. They're going to see the light of day after this eon. You won't. And it doesn't matter if they're still looking at dirty pictures. This is why Jesus said that the prostitutes get into the kingdom before the priests. You're a perfect example of it. Yeah, you're a perfect example of it. You got all the dirty thoughts out of your head, but the dirtiest thought of all is still in your head. And that is that Jesus Christ was an insufficient Savior, that he didn't finish the job, that he just left the door open and now leaves it up to human beings to save themselves by believing, by having faith in Christ. At the same time, telling your people you're not saved by your good works. You're not saved by your own righteousness. Now hurry up and make a righteous decision for God. Do a good work by putting your faith in Christ, or you're going to go to hell for eternity because it's a real place. Your church is a mess. Your mind is a mess. And I would rather you be looking at dirty pictures all day and have the right spiritual understanding of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, because then you would no longer be a self-righteous hypocrite. But because you're self-righteous, you're not going to see the light of day until the great white throne. You do not have aeonian life. Don't worry, you have eternal life because Jesus Christ actually did die for you. It actually was successful, and he did it without your freaking help or anybody else's help at your church. He didn't need their help. He didn't use their help. They weren't even born when he freaking died for the sins of the world on the cross. They weren't even born, and he did it. And you say that in your song. So many preachers, so many churches and denominations. Now you're in one of them. You're part of the problem. Got their opinions and their documents and statements. Yeah, you're part of it. You're part of the problem now. All these churches that you lament in your song, their statements, beliefs, there's a miscommunication. Sometimes there's a miscommunication. Yes, your scriptures are mistranslated. Get the Concordant Literal New Testament, or get Young's Literal New Testament, or get the Greek Diaglot, get the RIT, the Dabar translation, get the Rotherham Emphasized Bible, and you'll see the word eternal properly translated. The word eternal appears nowhere in a properly translated scripture. This is where you get confused between eternal life and aeonian life. That's a whole nother thing. If you're watching this, Clay, put my name in the search box on YouTube if you can get through this video, which I somehow doubt you can. It'd be a miracle if you do, and I pray to God that you do. Look up eternal life or aeonian life. Eonian is an actual English word. It corresponds perfectly to the Greek word aeonian. It's a Greek adjective, aeonian. It corresponds perfectly. It's a transliteration, my friend, a transliteration. Back to the song. And we complicate the truth and convolute the story. And that, yep, and you're part and parcel of it. But as far as I recall, I do believe it all comes down to a man dying on a cross, saving the world. Yeah, it does, but you don't believe that. You don't believe it comes down to a man dying on the cross. You believe it comes down to people believing in that man. You put your faith in your faith. That's a trick of Satan. You're falling for it. You put your faith in your faith. That's what you've done. You say it comes down to a man dying on the cross, saving the world, but it really doesn't, because it comes down to you rising from the dead, doing what he said he would do, doing what he said he would do. His father did it. He didn't do what he said he was doing. I'm going to raise from the dead. His father roused him from the dead, and he got up off the slab. His father roused him. Jesus sure was consistent. He said he was going to raise himself from the dead, and he did. No, God roused Christ. Loving everyone he saw. When it's said and done, it all comes down to a man dying on the cross, saving the world. No, you're a hypocrite. Yes, it does. Your lyrics are correct. It does come down. It all comes down. That's what you said. When it's said and done, it all comes down to a man dying on the cross. But no, according to you and your church statement of faith, so-called, Bentonville, Arkansas, First Baptist Church, it doesn't come down. It all doesn't come down. Christ didn't do it all. He left the most important part for you. You have the most important part in your own salvation. Jesus Christ just made it possible for you to be saved. Is that doing it all? No. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. You're not a believer, Clay. You believe in yourself. You might as well be worshiping a tree or a rock. What's the difference? You're worshiping your own will. You're worshiping your ability to believe in Jesus. That's why you believe you're saved and these other poor idiots are going to hell. Because you, the self-righteous one, made the correct decision. You were wise enough to choose Jesus. These other idiots were not. That's why they're going to hell. That's why you don't feel really too bad about them. Because if they were smarter, if they were more righteous, they would have made the right decision. Like you did, Clay. You did. Me made the right decision. Congratulations. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. Well, you've won an all-expense-paid trip to the unseen. And a free ticket to the Great White Throne, where you will finally be judged by God and understand the truth. I'm trying to tell it to you now. Don't know. Don't know if it's going to work. It's a power of the blood that brings us to redemption. The power of the blood, not very powerful if after it was shed, it didn't save anybody. After this powerful blood was shed, great lyric, great song. It's the power of the blood. Love the guitar there. It is so powerful. It's the power of the blood. But you don't believe the blood was powerful. If it was, it would have saved the world. Your song says he saved the world. How could he save the world if you believe a lot of the human race is going to be in hell for eternity? How is that saving the world? That's not, it's called not saving the world. Comes down to a man dying on the cross, saving the world. That's what you said here, saving the world. You don't believe he saved the world. Oh, I guess everybody's saved then. Great song, Clay. Oh, wait, says Clay. I don't believe everybody's saved. Wait, you just sang a song, but saving the world, dying on the cross, saving the world. Well, you didn't actually save the world. Now you're getting down to it. Just don't be a hypocrite, dude. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, trying to save the world. Change the song. I know it doesn't fit the meter, but you can fix it. You're a ex-star. You can fix it, Clay. Fix it. Trying to save the world. Let me see if I can help you. Comes down to a man dying on the cross, trying to save the world. Or you could put, comes down to a man dying on the cross, almost, no, he almost doesn't work. Trying to save the world. Now you're going to have to do something with the line before it. Rising from the dead. What, he comes down, a man rising from the dead? No, he didn't rise from the dead. He's God. Or he's essential part of the Godhead, according to your Trinitarian teaching there. He didn't rise from the dead. His body did. Okay, anyway, that's pretty, I don't think that can be fixed. Doing what he said he would do. No, he didn't. He said he would take away the sins of the world. At least John the Baptist, his cousin, said that of him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Put that in a song, Clay. It's beautiful. But you don't believe it. I wish you did. Comes down to, you keep saying over and over again, comes down to a man dying on a cross, saving the world. No, comes down to your faith and your belief concerning the man who tried to save the world. That's it. I just did it for you. Comes down to your faith and your personal self-righteousness concerning a man who attempted to save the world or concerning a man who opened the door for you to do the rest. You can put a lick in there. In order for you to do the rest. You to do the rest. You to do the rest. You can do it, Clay. You're a professional. All the people beneath the steeple are just reaching for the truth. They can save a helpless soul. They can, but probably won't because they're idiots. We wrestle with the mystery and the teaching. No, your doctrines are clouded in mystery and misdirection and hypocrisy. But the news is all good. It is. That's the last line of the song. The last two lines. The news is all good. I think that we should remember one thing. Yeah, it all comes down to a man dying on the cross. You know, yeah, sure. The news is all good. Most of humanity will go to hell for eternity. That doesn't sound all good to me. Now, I would like to turn to the man's spiritual growth. Okay, sit on the sofa here, son. We're going to take a look at your spiritual development over the years. I only mention this because it's on Wikipedia. It's public, so don't get mad at me about this. Following his initial success. Well, the guy grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. He became a Christian at age 13. That's unfortunate. He married his high school. I would have rather he would have become a believer in Jesus Christ, an actual believer in Jesus Christ, not a man who's confident in his flesh to make a decision that will save him, but he married his high school sweetheart, Renee Kennedy. Initially, Clay worked as a courier for FedEx. Wish you'd have stayed there, dude. He then released his first album, My Place Is With You. I Surrender All was the most successful single from the album. I Surrender All. Oh boy, don't make me go through this song too. I Surrender All. Did you surrender your free will? I doubt it. No, you kept your free will. Because the only reason other people are going to hell is because they did not exercise their free will correctly. You exercised yours correctly. God left you alone. God didn't influence you to make that all-powerful, all-important decision. Because if he had, then he would have violated your free will. We all know God's a gentleman, wouldn't do that. Well, but he does. But he does. God's not a gentleman. Show me the verse, Clay. Show me the verse. You don't have a verse that says God's a gentleman, because he's not. I Surrender All. Oh, give me these. Give me a break. These sickly Christian songs. I Surrender All. You self-righteous nincompoop, honestly. I Surrender All. You have no idea how you don't surrender. You have no idea how you don't surrender all. You worship the creature rather than the creator. You worship. You're a creature, Clay. Think about your first name, Clay. Think about that, Clay. Go to Romans 9, okay? You'll find out that God makes from one lump of clay. Vessels of honor and dishonor. Vessels of honor and dishonor. God does it. And then read on in Romans 9, where it says, talks about Jacob and Esau, and that God operates things according to his will, not according to their will. It is not of him who is willing or of him who is running, but of God the merciful. That's in Romans chapter 9, after God talks about Jacob and Esau. It's not of him who's willing. Your church insists that it is about him who is willing, or her, or the children, who I assume you baptized you baptize the children when you can in a little pool. Make them double the sons of Gehenna you are. Everybody needs to get the hell out of the First Baptist Church of Bentonville, Arkansas. Get the hell out of there, because things are going to get hot in the tribulation. You want to know hot? You want to talk about an actual quote-unquote hell? The tribulation is coming, and God is going to wipe out the world's religions. You're in the front seat, not as being a spectator, but as being a victim. You're forwarding the apostasy by worshiping the creature, worshiping yourself, your ability, your own righteousness. You haven't given it up yet. And then you write a song called I Surrender All. I'm sickened. Oh, it was your most successful single from the album. Then you left FedEx. Damn it. I wish that hadn't happened. Saving the world. Yeah, Clay's music has a pop style. He became known for singles such as I Surrender All, Midnight Cry, He Walked a Mile, Saving the World, which he didn't do. Saving the World. What a joke title. You don't even believe it. I mean, the title's true. Jesus Christ did save the world. But anyway, I've been through that, haven't I? I Will Follow Christ. Oh, my God. I Will Follow Christ. Okay, well, if left to your own, you would not follow Christ. That's what you don't understand. God shaped you. God made you who you are. If you follow Christ at all, which you don't, I'm sorry, but you're following another Jesus, because your Jesus did not save the world. Your song has aeonian life. Your song has aeonian life, but you don't, which is ironic because you wrote this song. The song is correct. Clay Cross is completely wrong and has every main doctrine wrong. And I doubt you believe in the statement of faith that said the sovereignty of God, because I'm guessing you believe in human free will. You understand that human free will can't exist next to the sovereignty of God. Either God's in control of everything, or he's in control of everything except 8 billion humans. Okay, here it is. I'm going to end with this, folks. I'm sorry, it's going long, but following his initial success, Clay went through a time of contemplation and reckoning in his life. He didn't contemplate or reckon the right things. I'm sorry, because if you did, you wouldn't, 25 years down the road, you wouldn't still be believing in doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. You wouldn't still be believing in eternal torment, which is a false teaching. Eternal torment is false, not found anywhere in a correctly translated scripture. Eternal torment, a satanic lie. You believe in it. this literal place called hell in your statement of faith. Is it Gehenna, Hades, or Tartarus? You don't tell us. Hell's not specific enough. Especially when hell is a willy-nilly mistranslation of three Greek words. Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus. I would look into that if I were you. You still have time. Consider me the ghost of Christmas future. You still have time to repent. Repent of your self-righteousness. Because you're still self-righteous as you were 24 years ago. So what did your time of contemplation and reckoning accomplish? Well, I'm going to tell my audience what it accomplished, because you, somebody who wrote this Wikipedia entry, they say it, so I'm going to say it. Clay went through a time of contemplation and reckoning in his life, one that he describes as, quote, the greatest time of spiritual growth I had ever experienced. And yet you still believe in the Trinity? You still believe in human free will? You still believe in eternal torment? The three greatest doctrines of demons in the entire world, satanic constructs that demean the success of Christ, they demean God, demean Christ. They make God not sovereign in the world, because free will says every man is his own sovereign. That puts God off the throne. Satan did that. You still believe that after 25 years. Where's the spiritual growth? Not seeing it. You still believe in eternal torment. You still believe that God is going to burn people in hell forever, including possibly your children or your mom or dad, if they don't say the sinner's prayer in the right way, if they don't have a conversion experience. If you don't prompt them with some happy music like Billy Graham used to do, play the organ. People, oh, all emotional, they're crying. I'm sure many of your songs, people are crying, they're coming down to the altar, and this is them saving themselves. That's what you tell them. Come to the altar now, because you could drive home and get in a car accident. I hope you tell them that every single time, because if you get home, if you die on your way home in a car accident, then you will go to hell and you will burn. If you don't today, come. Well, I thought it comes down to a man dying on the cross saving the world. No, it comes down to you saying a sinner's prayer before you're killed in an auto accident. That's what you really believe, dude. How the hell does it come down to a man dying on the cross saving the world? If it did, then that person wouldn't have to worry about getting in an automobile crash without confessing their sins. Would they have to worry about? Would they have to worry about anything? They would be born saved. Everybody's born saved, Clay. Everybody's born having eternal life, but not everyone has aeonian life. Someone who has aeonian life has been given the gift of faith. It's a gift to throw away, to reject their own self-righteousness, which is as filthy rags. You prop up your self-righteousness. In fact, you don't call it this, but you make self-righteousness the centerpiece of your Christ life. Your self is in the center. Well, no, I surrendered all. I put Jesus in the center. No, you didn't. Because you put Jesus in the center. You see where that's a trick? It's a mind trick. It's a Satan trick. It's a deception. You did it. You see what I mean? You see how you start the sentence with I and with you and whatever, okay? Personal pronouns. God did it, Clay. God did it. Went through a time of contemplation, reckoning in his life, the greatest time of spiritual growth I'd ever experienced. Let's see what happened during this great time of spiritual growth. After having difficulties with his singing voice, Clay hired a vocal coach, Chris Beatty. Okay, well, there you go. That's one thing. At their first appointment, Beatty questioned him about his spiritual life. Too bad he didn't question him about God or about Christ. No, Christianity is always focused on the person, always focused on sin, self, and sanitation. Try to get rid of all the sins in your life. Work on yourself constantly and then sanitize the world for God and Christ. At their first appointment, Beatty questioned him about his spiritual life, a typical Christian tactic. And then I'm sure he looks up at this Beatty guy and says, oh, what a wonderful man of God. A wonderful man of God would have pointed you to Christ, would have pointed you to the scriptures that says God is the Savior of all humanity. Then you would have believed your own song. A man of God would have pointed you to Christ, would have pointed you to God, would have taken you through the scriptures, shown you that the Trinity is false, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he actually died, did not exist for 3 days, couldn't have done that if he was an essential part of the Godhead, and took faith to do that. Jesus Christ died and raised from the dead, not his body, him. He died. He is risen. Take all those Easter signs down until you believe them. I'm asking a lot. I don't expect you to actually do it, but I like hearing myself say it. Beatty questioned him about his spiritual life. After praying with the coach that day, Cross confessed to his wife. Listen, he confessed to his wife. You ready for this? You think he confessed to his wife, oh my God, I'm a self-righteous ass. All these years, I've thought it comes down to me believing in Jesus, and that's why I'm saved. It's all about what I did, how I went to the altar and said the right prayer. Oh, honey, I don't believe that anymore. I'm just a piece of clay. There's no difference between me and Hitler. I'm just a common piece of clay. I was locked up in stubbornness. The only way I could have believed in God is through the power of God and power of Christ, because I'm dead in trespasses and sin. I'm helpless. How could we have been all these years telling people, telling helpless people to reach out for a Savior? Helpless people? Hey, all you helpless people, do something quick or you're going to go to the actual location known as hell. GPS it, you'll find it. No, you won't. But anyway, no, oh no, he confessed to his wife that he had been struggling with his thought life. Oh, well, okay, your thought life, meaning you were struggling, and all of a sudden God made you aware that you were putting yourself on the throne, that you were making your will stronger than God's will. God wills all humanity to be saved, to come to a realization of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:6, but that your will can trump that will. Your will is stronger than that. Is that what you're struggling with? Is that your thought life? You had a hard time wrestling with the thoughts at night of people, even your own relatives, maybe your mother and father, burning in hell for eternity just because they didn't exercise the proper attitude. They didn't have the proper reverence. They didn't say the sinner's prayer. Is that what your thought life? He confessed to his wife he had been struggling with his thought life, and that pornography, oh my God, had played a role. Here it is. Here it is. Satan's number one distraction, Satan's number one diversion to keep Christians from thinking about real issues like God. Who is God? Who is Christ? Is God sovereign, or do human beings have a free will? Is Satan sovereign, or is Satan under the control of God? Did Jesus Christ really take away the sins of the world? Oh, no, no. Christians don't want you to. Satan doesn't want Christians thinking about any of that. So he engages them with a false enemy. He engages them with the female form. Yeah, the beautiful female form made by God. The image he made in the garden. The woman he made in the garden called her good. That's evil. See, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is what Clay Cross did. He called good evil. And he calls evil eternal torment. Your salvation depends on you. He calls that good. You've been struggling with his thought life, and that pornography had played a role. I can't believe this next sentence. I just can't believe it. It took 1 year for his relationship with his wife to fully heal. What? I'm sorry, but what kind of woman are you married to? I mean, it's not like you were out screwing other women. You were looking at dirty pictures, and your wife took her a year to forgive you from that? What kind of self-righteous nincompoop is she? Took her a year to heal? Who does she think she is? But I'm sure that the church and possibly your own wife made you feel like numero uno rat, numero uno evil person, because you looked at, I say, dirty pictures because that's what you consider them. But if you're talking about looking at pictures of women who are scantily dressed or not dressed at all, nothing dirty about that. God did that. Get my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Clay, that book will deliver you from this bondage. You think, I am delivered from the bondage. I don't look at these pictures anymore. No, you're still in the bondage because you're fighting it every day. You're still in bondage to sin. You're a slave of sin. A slave of sin is just as much someone who fights sin all day as it is somebody who's sinning like crazy. They're both engaged in sin, but you've been delivered from sin, but you don't realize that, because sin can still keep you from God. Sin can still send you and your friends and your family to hell forever. You don't believe sin is dealt with. You don't believe the old humanity was crucified with Christ. You don't believe anything in Romans chapter 6, but at least you're not looking at bikini contests anymore. Okay, well, thank God. It only took a year for your wife to forgive you for that. What a noble woman that is. Later, Clay stated that he was thankful that God protected and strengthened his and Renee's marriage during that time. Now, look, I'm happy you're still married, dude. Honestly, I'm happy you're still married. I'm just really disappointed that this was your breakthrough. I was hoping it had to do something with the success of Christ at the cross and not with lingerie. I really was hoping for better things concerning you. But no. With the changes in his personal life, Clay released a different man in 1999. Not really different, Clay. He just stopped looking at bikinis and lingerie. The song's 98, Sinner's Prayer. There it is, Sinner's Prayer. That's what it comes down to. comes down to the sinner's prayer said in the right way with the right mental posture. There's your new hit. These were written reflecting his personal growth. Okay, I've done enough damage here. I'm pleased with my work, actually. I hope that somebody gets this. I hope somebody listens to this and has their life changed. And before it's too late and they don't show up until the great white throne, they'll be saved. Clay, you're saved. The evidence that Christ is gracious, God is a gracious God, and Jesus Christ did save the world at the cross. The evidence of that is that he saves even Christians. He saves even the most self-righteous people on the planet who look down their noses at other people and who are calloused about every prospect of most of the human race going to hell for eternity. They're very callous about it. They can put their noses up at it and say, well, it's their own damn fault. Well, gee, if it's their own damn fault for being in hell, then it's your own stinking credit for being in hell.
What's your busiest time of year? Christmas
would be. It's, you know, it's Christmas and Easter. Those are the big, you know, the big.
The Super birth Bowl and Sunday. The resurrection.
That's it. It's always on my mind. We finish up the Christmas music, and I'm immediately Easter, getting ideas for Easter.